Welcome to Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and on the web at kpfk.org. My name is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann, and we're listening to Johnny Clark, Rise Up, Fight for Your Rights, My Brothers and Sisters. Today we want to start the show and dedicate it to Coretta Scott King, who passed away last Tuesday. For our first segment, we're going to be talking about Hurricane Katrina, which struck the Gulf Coast over 5 months ago. Since then, survivors have been denied the right to return, access to housing, schooling, and health care. FEMA, pretty soon, February 13th and March 1st, plans to evict tens of thousands of Katrina victims from hotels without any alternative housing. For our first segment, we will be talking to Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr., who will be discussing the current situation in the Gulf Coast and talking about the emergency meeting he is going to be leading tomorrow. For our second segment, we'll be talking to Tawfiq Haddad, a Palestinian-American writer and activist who will discuss with us the significance of the recent Hamas electoral victory in Palestine. And then finally, we haven't heard from you for a while, but we're going to hear from you, our listeners, and we invite you to call in with your comments about Katrina, about the Gulf Coast, and about Hamas. And right now, we're on the line with Reverend Yearwood. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. So, Reverend Yearwood, why don't we start out with tomorrow you're calling, along with Ron Daniels, the Katrina Emergency Strategy Summit in Washington, D.C. Why don't you tell us what your objectives are and who is already coming?
Well, we have a number. First and foremost, thank you for having me on the show.
For sure.
We're having a number of people coming out tomorrow from major organizations. Obviously, it happens to fall on the same day as we sent home our dear sister, Mrs. Coretta Scott King. So a number of people will be down there. It might not be able to come up, but who we do have coming is representatives from SEIU, AFL-CIO, the Gulf Coast, Operation Gulf Coast, People's Hurricane Relief Fund, Common Ground, and this Up for Democracy, Rebuild Hope Now Coalition, so many groups who have been working, almost all the groups who are working on the ground, who have representatives there to discuss about moving some things forward as we approach the six-month mark after Hurricane Katrina.
Well, I would just remember, we're out in L.A., but we've been sending people to meetings in the Gulf Coast from the People's Hurricane Relief Fund. Myself and Barbara LaHada went to the Congressional Black Caucus, and that's actually where I met you.
Yes.
And one of the preachers that make the non-believers into believers, I remember you were on a panel, I think John Conyers was heading it,
yep.
And it was around what is going to happen with Katrina. This is, you know, directly, like, I think a month and a half afterwards.
Yes.
And you were one of the people who, you know, there were a bunch of talking heads about this and that, and you were one of the people actually, the first time I also met Curtis Muhammad, you handed him the microphone.
Yes.
And then that basically shifted the tenor and the tone of the meeting from, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, to actually people who were actually doing something. So just I wanted to say, just, you know, first off, to thank you for your initiative around this. The question that I get to is, kind of if we look at historically in the continuation of kind of the Black Liberation Movement from the Civil Rights Movement on to now, some of the demands historically have been around land, have been around reparations, have been around, I mean, you know, even if you go to the Panthers talking about self-determination, Black people going to the UN and demanding, hey, we want our own say over our own land.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions I'll have to you is, was it a tactical choice in terms of your demands not to to focus on Black-specific demands in terms of that talk about the specificity of Black oppression? Or what? Can you tell me more about that?
The reason why, the question is the reason why we didn't focus on particularly being a person of color issue, right?
Well, not only a person of color issue, but I think in terms of So, for example, in the beginning of when it first happened, I know Curtis Mohammed and folks in the Gulf Coast came out really, really strong with, you know, this is a crime against black people. Bush doesn't like black people. And it seems like the demands have moved away from that. And I was just wondering about your tactical choice in terms of the demands that you chose.
Well, and first, I agree. No, this is it is still a crime against people of color and black people. And in that crime, not only just people, black people, but obviously Native Americans and the Homa Nation and Hispanics. But particularly what we saw on August 29th through September 4th and 5th, we saw open season hunting on people of color. And we also saw this world got to see, in essence, what I would call America's picture of Dorian Gray. They got to see the real America behind the screen. They got to see what's really here. The world got to see it. So, no, I don't think that there's but it is very difficult for some reason in this process, not just people who are not black, but people who are black have suddenly gotten Katrina fatigue. I don't know how they can get that after what has happened to people of color, but they've gotten that. And so now we have to now approach this thing strategically, in which we recognize that this didn't affect people of color. It affected them in mass numbers. It still affects them in mass numbers. But now we have to now somehow, which is why we say Gulf Coast renewal, somehow Katrina has become synonymous with people, with black people. And for some reason, helping black people is not popular. And so we have to find a way to help our people in a way that will get them help without them now being turned off just because they're black. And so that's where we are now. So, no, it's still a cry to make sure that people of color are restored whole in this process. But unfortunately, even people of color now do not want to help people of color. And so we have to now fight. And unfortunately, it is true. And I've always said the oppressed will act like the oppressed. And so what we see is nothing new. But we must fight with all we have to make sure that the people who are affected by this disaster and affected before the disaster are restored whole.
Well, I mean, that's interesting because that really goes into the next question where I wanted to go is in terms of the Democrats on the whole. I know a lot of the invitation in terms of the letter for folks coming to the summit are particularly the Black Congressional Black Caucus. But to me, it's like thinking of like this historically would have been the perfect issue for the Democrats to actually talk about and really fight for proactively. I think even when we listen today on the judicial hearings around the FISA courts, like the Democrats couldn't even make sure that the Attorney General was sworn in. I mean, it's pathetic where folks are. So in terms of that piece, the Democrats don't take stands on civil rights. They don't really take stands on women's rights, et cetera, et cetera. So I think one of the things I've been trying to say is, like, if you actually spoke to those, that's what would actually energize black people so they would actually want to do something and not get the fatigue, et cetera, et cetera. So
well, definitely.
So I think in terms of the actual – and I mean I think that just to be clear, I think the demands that you've laid out, a lot of them address those same problems. I don't think it's not going like saying, you know, this is a crime against black people. This, you know, it's not as sharp as that. I think there's still good demands. But I just want to say what I wanted to kind of pull out. What is the thing that's actually going to mobilize black people, particularly, I say, on the grassroots level, but then also Congressional Black Caucus, for them to actually push back against the majority Democrats?
No, and I agree wholeheartedly. You know, one of the things that are similar between Katrina and this whole process, even 6 months, and the civil rights component, is the dates. August 28th, 1955, Emmett Till was killed in Memphis. I'm sorry, in Mississippi. And being killed in Mississippi on August 28th, 50 years later almost to the date, 50 years to the date, Hurricane Katrina, and we still see this disregard for black people. Now, the difference there is this. Rosa Parks gets courage in December after August In December, Rosa Parks sits on the bus, thinking in her mind of the Emmett Till, still seeing the pictures in her mind and says, enough is enough.
Hmm.
In December, then going into January, a 26-year-old Dr. King stands up and says, you know what? Enough is enough. My whole life is now going to go forward for civil rights, and we're going to unify, and we're going to stand up and cripple the things that have been trying to cripple us. So then you put that same date, in August of this year, we saw the hurricane and what it did to people, particularly of color, and poor people, and seniors, and those in prison, and the least of these. And then you come back then by December. You don't have that same outcry. Now, you would think that if we didn't have nobody, we had no CBC in 1955. There wasn't anybody who was in the Senate in Barack Obama in 55. We didn't have 42 members, D.C. and Virgin Islands, who don't even get a vote. We didn't have anybody at that point in time in running around here in Congress in a collective group. But now we got people in Congress, and then and by December, we can't even get anything pushed. So you're right. The problem is right now that people have just allowed this system to just be to cast off poor people and black people to the side. And so what you're now seeing is there has been a paradigm shift. So August 29th of this year, a shift happens. And so now poor people and black people and Hispanic people and women and men are unifying so that not enough is enough. The greed, the corruption has got to stop. So it doesn't matter who's in charge, what kind of title you might have. People are now unifying and are trying to take back this country. And that's what's happening. So when we see this, the Democrats or the Republicans or whoever's in office, I don't care who they might be, the problem is that if you're not for the people now are demanding, it is time you left us here to die. You opened up open hunting season on people of color. It is time to have power to the people. And so now what you see a whole paradigm shift happening in America.
Reverend, this is Eric Mann. How are you?
I'm doing well, my brother.
I hope you got a chance to look at my letter to the movement in support of the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast.
I did, actually.
Good. I just want to read your demands because I want to make sure we focus on what you've been fighting for. The call for tomorrow's meeting is a right of return, not a plan that gentrifies and whitewashes, a sane rebuild that invests in those displaced, not a boon for developers, temporary and long-term housing assistance, protection for voting rights for the displaced, community control over CDBGs. What's that?
Community-based development grants.
Got it. Mortgage forgiveness, funding for quality public education, victim restoration fund, environmental cleanup, rebuilding of medical facilities, small business assistance, tax credits and bankruptcy exemptions. I think the thing where, you know, me and Damon are trying to encourage is that sometimes I think the question of what's, you know, as you were saying about the Katrina fatigue, you know, when the Strategy Center initiated our Bus Riders Union group, our slogan was Fight Transit Racism. And what was interesting is because in Los Angeles there's a two-tiered bus system between the buses are mainly for black and Latino and Asian, and the trains are significantly for white suburban riders. So many people, mainly whites, came up to me. I love what you're doing. Could you just drop the transit racism thing? I mean, why can't you just say we want a better bus system? And we said, because, first of all, that's the cutting edge. That's the moral advantage we have. That's also our legal charges. Because if we don't raise the issue of racial discrimination, we have no grounds morally. We have no grounds legally. About 2 years later, we took the Los Angeles MTA into court and brought a Title VI suit against them based on violating the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, violating separate but equal based on race. So the reason where, you know, we understand you're being very generous and honest about Katrina fatigue and the fatigue of black people just being so tired of being hated. But I think the role, if our later guest is going to be about Hamas, the election in in Palestine, they were told they're out, they're marginalized, nobody wants Hamas. And then there's a moment where a minority voice becomes a majority voice. And we just, because we think so highly of you, We're trying to do everything we can to encourage the war against Katrina fatigue and the war for a black-centered reconstruction in the South.
No, and first of all, I had an opportunity to actually read. I didn't know I was sent that earlier, the manuscript. I actually had received it the day. Actually, I didn't know. I actually went and found it today when I actually when I met.
So when I met you at the
yes, and I didn't know. That's on the cover, actually. I got this. I read this before. I never got to read this. So but I agree. Let me say this. I think your point is very valid. I think that the problem here is this, and it really is no problem. I think that the voices are rising up, and we do have people in positions like in historically. Who are in positions who are there to keep in control those voices that are rising up.
Yes.
And they're beginning to break through. Hence, Reverend Yearwood, who is from the Hip Hop Caucus, who is only known for voter registration, but now a voice that has become more out there. Why? Because this, I guess, I just ready to raise a little hell so I can get a little bit of heaven. And so in that process, what is happening now, though, that there is a moment, though, that I don't think it is quite clear when you just fight for Katrina what you're fighting for. I think that's almost clear who you're fighting for to some degree. Now, I think it could be even more explicit, but I think it's almost clear because it was clear the day across the world when they saw CNN and MSNBC who was on that TV screen. It was quite clear, for instance, when I went down and we marched across the Crescent City Connection Bridge, myself and Cynthia McKinney and others, when we crossed that bridge, it was clear when we had a right to return march in December. It was clear from the standpoint when you mentioned Katrina instantly. It's also clear when I'm on Capitol Hill, how they become, I don't want to talk about Katrina. I want to discuss everything else but that and the reasons for that. So I think that right now we just have to, in America is much different from international, as you know. It's a very different.
It sure is.
It's a very different component in how that structure is made. So now we're actually fighting even with ourselves because let me just say this. It wasn't just white people or the establishment who didn't like poor black people. It was people, black people, who didn't like poor black people. And one of the amazing things of the Lower Ninth Ward that they had home ownership. So while they might have had 36% poverty rate in the Lower Ninth Ward, out of those 14,000 plus homes, primarily run by female households in some cases, they had a 65% home ownership rate. The highest longevity because sometimes 50 years in the same home.
Yeah.
And so one of the things here, but even in New Orleans, one of the things there is that even in those communities, they weren't disliked. But what's happening, and let me just stress this, what I believe is going to happen, if you're asking, so what, how do we get this? How do we then get around the system by being in the system? Or how do we build a new city while in the city, so to speak? We're not going to see intelligence and genius outside of the academy. Because these voices now have been shifted around the country. And what I am now seeing is this new Fannie Lou Hamer type of spirit that is emerging out of the survivors. I am not hearing voices that are saying, the hell with those in Congress. The hell with this. I'm going back home. And if you deny my rights, then I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so that's what's happening. So I think that's going to happen. And I agree with you. I think that we definitely need to be more clear and saying that this is definitely, it is a race issue.
So you're on we're listening to KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Damon Azali with my co-host Eric Mann, and we're speaking with Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr., who is the CEO of Hip Hop Caucus. Reverend Yearwood, with the last 2 minutes, I wanted to get this from you because I think you and I are similar people. I think we're both hip-hop heads from the hip-hop generation, spiritual people, and we're looking at standing on the shoulders of folks from the civil rights movement. So I actually heard it was on a documentary, and David Banner said something like, if you don't know who David Banner is, you just have to Google him or something. But David Banner says, you know, I can't wait till they hurry up and die. Speaking of the civil rights movement. And then on the other hand, you have someone like 50 Cent, who criticizes, I think, one of the best forms of what hip-hop can do in terms of Kanye West. When he's saying Bush doesn't like black people, you had Kanye West pushing back against him. So I guess my question for you is, when we look at the late 80s, when we had Public Enemy, when we had KRS-One, when we had the kind of beginning of conscious rap, as people kind of knew it, is there any hope in resurrecting that and bringing that back, or has it gone to the, and I love Dead Prez, but I also have to turn Dead Prez down when he says when they say the B word, et cetera, et cetera. Is there any hope at bringing back that kind of politic into this day and connecting both the hip hop generation and the civil rights generation?
Yes, and thank you for that. I said earlier, the oppressed will act like the oppressed. And one of the things about hip hop, the difference between hip hop and the civil rights movement, is that in civil rights with SNCC and in Black Power, they to some degree control their culture. So they control the aspects to say Black Power and to really feel that and move on it. When we moved from Black Power to fight the power, we didn't really control that in all degrees.
Mm.
While we said it, we didn't control it. We definitely didn't believe it, and we said fight the power. And so I agree with you that I think that I do think one of the things about our generation, we should be much further along. When I mentioned earlier about Rosa Parks sitting on the bus in California, they killed Tukey. And that was just on December 12th, right, I think. December 12th, I think. And I think that, you know, that was right after Katrina. And so we didn't stand up in some cases. We did stand up, but it wasn't though, because even today, right now, on this coast, I'm dealing with them killing Brennan Evans and other people, Wesley Baker in Maryland. So they're still legally lynching black people. But now the question is that how do we move from a culture that believed when they said black power to a culture that has been force-fed and doesn't even think they really can fight the power? And so I think that what needs to happen here is the standpoint that I understand what David Banner is saying, is that some parts of our generation is really still there, you know, and I don't think you can, you know, I don't believe in the passing of the mantle. I think you just grow. I think that the Almighty makes room for the gift and you just move forward. But I do think that if our generation, and this is really a cry out to everybody who's listening on this air, I think it's time that we are now at our lunch counter moment in history. So either you're going to get up or you're going to sit down. And we are here. If you can't see what's happening with the death penalty, if you can't see what's happening with health care and education, you can't see what's happening with poverty. You can't see what's happening with when it became open hunting season on specifically the hip-hop generation. Because while those people outside the convention center, it was still 4 or 5 days when it was a shoot-to-kill order, and it was open hunting season on the hip-hop generation in particular, young black men in particular. And so if we can, this is our lunch counter moment, and if we, in every generation, as Franz Fanon has said, reaches their moment. And so we're here. And so now we have to decide for our lunch kind of moment, will we sit down and raise hell, or we get up and go quietly away? And we're here. And so now it's time to stop singing about it and be about it. It's easy to say B to anybody. It's easy to be a gangster on a piece of wax or a CD. But now, but can you stand up to injustice? Can you face imprisonment, not because you sold some weed, but can you face some prison for justice? It's easy to say get rich or die trying, but can you get justice and I would say get rich or die trying, or get justice and die trying? Because for real, we ain't really getting rich, and they ain't dying. And so it's time for us to change our mantra. Now, if you really want to be gangster, if you really want to be hip-hop, if you really want to fight the power, this is your moment. What are you going to do? What will history say about us when the books are read and written?
All right, we were speaking to Reverend Lennox Yearwood from the Hip Hop Caucus. This is Damon Azali and Eric Mann. We're going to, after the break, to Tawfiq Haddad on Hamas and Palestine. Stick with us after the break.